You know what? It sucks to be bored. But when I get on my phone and play real casino games on SpinQuest.com, the time flies by. That two-hour wait at the DMV seems like 10 minutes. Play your favorite slots, live blackjack, live craps, with a live dealer. New players, $30 coin packs are on sale for 10 bucks. Play SpinQuest.com and you'll never be bored again.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
This episode is marked for sensitive content. Please check content warnings in the episode description before listening. This week on The Breakup Breakdown.
I found out that he was extensively cheating on me. These text messages were so beyond shocking. At that point, I was like, look, I am completely done with this situation. At that point, was doing everything he could to make my life as difficult as possible to get me to stay. I absolutely was trapped.
I feel like recently people have been idolizing the WAG lifestyle, and sometimes it's just not all it's cracked up to be. Welcome to season 6, episode 12 of The Breakup Breakdown. I'm your host and lead relationship PI, Abby Murphy, and this week we are diving into someone who is living the wives and girlfriends pro sports lifestyle dream that turned out to be anything but. And if you're wondering where we get all these crazy breakup stories from, I always accept submissions via the episode description submission form. You can submit your own breakup story, a friend's breakup story, somebody who is not brave enough to submit their own stories, something you've seen on social media, or my favorite kind of stories to dive into are the ones that involve a little investigating. Like, hey, I've noticed this girl from college just started soft launching her breakup and then deleted her engagement photos, and I was always curious about it, but I didn't want to ask about it, and I wanted someone to ask for me. So I will ask for you in the DMs if you submit their username. Wherever we get the stories from, we love hearing what happened and getting some good lessons along the way. So again, check out that submission form in the episode description. And if you want to jump to a certain part of this interview, you can find timestamps in the episode description. Hey, Heartbreakers, welcome back to another episode of The Breakup Breakdown. Thank you so much for tuning in. This week, we've got a submission from a 42-part series on TikTok where she says, "Who the fuck did I almost marry? WAG edition." But before we get into that, every week we give a shout out to a different domestic violence shelter throughout the country just to raise more awareness. And this week we are shouting out Favor House in Pensacola, Florida. They are the only certified domestic violence center serving Escambia and Santa Rosa counties, which of course are in the panhandle of Florida. So if you want to check them out, and if you feel called to donate or serve any time with them, you can find all those details in the episode description. Also, the live podcast, which was recorded back in May with my friend Amber, who says she was catfished for 8 years, is still available for purchase on Vimeo. Once again, that is in the episode description as well. Okay, so into the actual submission. So like I said earlier on this episode, I accept submissions from people who want to tell their own breakup stories, their friends' breakup stories. And a lot recently, my submissions have come from social media. And I remember it was probably like, what, about a year ago? Do you remember Risa Tisa did like that whole series about who the fuck did she marry? Well, I got tagged in a similar type series on TikTok. It was 42 parts, and it was this woman who said, "Who the fuck did I almost marry?
Who the fuck did I almost marry?" This is part one of what I think will be a 40-part series. This story is a story of covert sociopathic narcissism. This is super messy. This is Darvo gaslighting, emotional abuse, mental abuse, and severe financial abuse. This whole relationship was extremely traumatizing, and I'm finally ready to share my story in the hopes that I can help other people who are currently in this situation or have gone through it and are feeling stuck.
I don't know if you've been following pop culture recently, but I feel like the biggest story in entertainment from like the last year is Taylor Swift living out her WAG era, which of course stands for wives and girlfriends. It's kind of a cute little fun term for the little cliques that form when the wives and girlfriends of players get together. And from the outside looking in, it genuinely looks like such a nice lifestyle. Like, you get to look pretty, stand at games, your boyfriend or your husband is super talented and famous and rich. And I think it is so easy to idolize the lifestyle from the outside looking in. I mean, I was literally just doing it this weekend. There's a couple of influencers that I follow that, of course, are WAGs for certain NFL teams. And they just look so cute. I mean, their lives just look so glamorous. I mean, you get dressed up, you wear your boyfriend or your husband's number, like on a pair of earrings or something. Like, it's very cute. It's very high school in a very adult way, but it's like high school, but you have a Birkin. So when I found out that there was going to be some professional sports sports relationship tea, I was like, give it to me. Show it to me, Rachel. I want to hear the tea. Her name's not Rachel, but I'm hoping you get that reference. Anyway, with a series that is 42 parts, I just felt like, why sit through it all on TikTok when we can just get homegirl on the podcast and hash it out? So that's what we're going to do when we break down this week's breakup.
What's up, everybody? It's Bretzky, and America is turning 250. And I can't think of a better way to celebrate that than playing on an American-owned social casino, SpinQuest.com. With all of your favorite games, live craps, bubble craps, live blackjack, there's no better place to play for free and win real cash prizes. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
We went to high school together, so we kind of had this, a lot of mutual friends and just a lot of connection through that. I'm a person who doesn't like ego in people or, you know, people who put on pretenses like that. And with him being, you know, having some notoriety, I appreciated that he came off as somebody who was humble and kind and those kinds of qualities. And, you know, since we do have so many mutual friends, everybody also thought that he was humble and kind and not ego driven. And so, you know, everybody just had the nicest things to say about him. And for me, you know, obviously we both had children going into this relationship. So we were very much about family and, you know, making that kind of a centerpiece of our life. And so that was very, very nice. And, you know, since we were so family focused, it really made it easy to love him. And he did have, you know, great qualities towards my children. You know, he would buy them Christmas presents. We would go on trips, those kinds of things. And seeing that kind of kindness and generosity extended to my kids as a single mom, that's, you know, a heartwarming thing.
So how long were you guys together? And then were there any red flags in the start of your relationship that made you think that your breakup would ever happen in the way that it did?
We both ended up divorced around the same time period. And, you know, I was just a little bit leery of him. You know, when you have somebody who is a little bit famous, it makes you a little bit more hesitant on dating him. You know, you just hear horror stories. And so, you know, he definitely was pursuing me. And then we got together officially in April of 2014. And in the very beginning, I didn't have any red flags per se, because like I said, everybody thought he was such a great guy like I did. And I guess about a month or two into us officially dating, he said to me that he had a trip where he was going to go to France. And apparently this was a trip that he had previously had with his ex-girlfriend. And he was like, I am going to change my itinerary. I don't want to have to see her. And to make, I guess, me feel better. So anyhow, he went on that trip and I didn't think anything of it. I'm not a jealous person. And so anyhow, after the trip, he flew me and my three older kids out to the farm, which was an expensive flight, you know, and an expensive trip, and didn't think anything otherwise. And when I got back from that trip, I got a friend request from somebody I didn't know. And like most of us, I clicked on the profile to try to see if I could figure out who it was. And their cover picture was of her and my boyfriend kissing. And so obviously that was an immediate ad friend.
Oh my gosh. So wait, how long into the relationship is this?
It was about 2 months into the relationship. Or no, I guess by that point, about three.
Okay. Really early on, not like deep into it.
Yes. Yes.
So did you confront him about it?
Absolutely. I'm not a girl who can stay quiet on something like that. So I confronted him on it and he was very apologetic. I spoke with his friends about it and everybody was trash talking this girl and everybody was making her out to be the problem. Apparently, when he was still married, he and this girl had cheated on his wife at the time. And it was a big deal. And it's hard when you have this echo chamber of people where everybody is reiterating the same exact thing. And I also still had this preconceived notion that he was just this amazing, great guy. And Yeah. And so we had a lot of conversations about it. He assured me that she was officially gone. In my thought process, obviously, this is a big red flag looking back, but my thought process in it all was this girl was the problem. And, you know, with her now being gone, it should be smooth sailing.
How did he justify it? Like when you say he apologized and you guys had conversations about it, like what is he telling you about this woman?
Just the whole psycho ex story, right? That, you know, she's unstable and she's just demanding all of these crazy things. And I mean, I even had friends send me screenshots of conversations that they had sent, that he had sent to them. And so again, it just kind of all reinforced the fact that she was the problem. And like I said, it was a complete huge red flag that I missed, but it's hard to see it when you're in that situation and you're getting all of this confirmation of, no, he's a great guy. It's her. And it's not just him giving me that lip service. It's, you know, 10, 15 other people piled on.
Yeah. And it's not some random, like this is somebody he has history with. So in your mind, I'm sure you're like, well, you know, she's an ex. So it's not like he was just going to some bar and finding some girl to cheat on me with.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And again, we have a history and he and I, and so, you know, here I am thinking he's this upstanding good person and everybody else is saying the same. So it definitely blinded me in that situation.
So do things get worse from there? Like, does this ex kind of linger? Or are there other problems that start up in the relationship?
No. So after that, things were pretty smooth sailing. And, you know, I guess, you know, obviously in hindsight, it could be classified as love bombing, but, you know, just would fly me there. He'd come see me. We'd, you know, do all kinds of things. And it was going really, really well. He even had a, that following spring break, he flew me and my oldest daughter up to Missouri. He had bought a whole ass RV, one of those, the tour bus looking RVs. And we flew there and then drove all the way down and did a whole vacation in the RV with him and his kid, other kids. And so things were just going really, really well.
I mean, this is the breakup breakdown. So I'm assuming at some point things do not turn out well. So yeah, where do we go from here?
So it got to the point where I think a lot of people, when you hit that year mark, it's kind of like, okay, you know, what are we doing here? You know, is it going to go further? What's going on? And we both wanted more kids. And, you know, I had said marriage, you know, is important to me. By this time, age was a little bit of a factor. All of us women are well aware that our fertility declines as we get older. I was told, look, marriage is absolutely coming. And we decided together to go ahead and start to try because we didn't know how long it would take for me to get pregnant. And I got pregnant the first time. Unfortunately, after we got here, things were very, very, very different.
Different in what way?
So one of the things that was discussed when we were going through the whole court process, I was in the middle of getting my nursing degree. I'd already completed my associates. And, you know, some of the questions that were for me were, you know, what are you planning on doing? And, you know, my ex and I had discussed about us, you know, me being able to go back to school and completing my degree. And then when I got there, it was not that way at all. So just to kind of refresh, I have three older children. He has three older children. I have our son in at the end of January, 2016. And here I was trying to get everybody situated and sorted as quickly as I could, because I had about a month to do that before the baby came. So that was kind of stressful. But very quickly, I was pushed into, you know, all of these pickups. I was doing three pickups to school and three drop-offs at school every day. The kids had extensive activities. I mean, I was running around like crazy because it was being so stacked with things that he was putting on my plate.
So how did that impact your relationship?
Well, it impacted it in a really, really big way. He started gaslighting me pretty quickly on about not being able to do that. And it was like, I don't know how I'm going to be able to do this. And also another issue that had come up was my love language is being told that I'm loved. And I had brought that to him because I felt like it just wasn't coming frequently enough for what I would like in a relationship. And, you know, most people, when you bring something like that up to them, they're like, okay, sure, I'll absolutely try to do better. Let me try to meet your needs. And that's not what happened at all. And for the next 2 years, he refused to tell me that he loved me. So I have that going on in the background. And then here he's beginning to gaslight me about not doing enough when I'm literally doing, you know, the work of four people in my daily life. And it really started to deteriorate the relationship on a very grand scheme.
When do you finally have it with everything that's going on in your relationship? Do you leave? Does he leave? What happens?
We bought a new house, and I was told going into that house that we were going to have contractors, and I even still have contractor quotes. We got three of them, and he refused to put me on the house, which was upsetting. And at the very last moment, he comes back from the signing and is like, "Oh, sorry, we are renovating this whole house ourselves." And this was an almost 10,000 square foot home that needed, at that point, $300,000 worth of work. I can't even imagine what it would be in today's cost. I mean, it would be at least $500,000, if not more, in construction costs that needed to go in. So it was extensive. And to put another thing on my plate, I really started to just check out. And I had told him, "Hey, I'm really struggling. I've got, you know, I'm dealing all of this with the kids, and I'm just not keeping this together very well at this point." And his response was, he took that as me not wanting to be around his older three. And that was not what I was saying. And so he started to alienate them from me at that point. So anyhow, fast forward, you know, things around like February, you know, I started getting really upset because I'm like, "Here, look, we are, you know, a couple years out, more than that at this point, for marriage. I still had not been proposed to." And in my defense, I don't think it was necessarily about wanting marriage per se, because I don't think I would have ever married him. But I do think I was seeking that validation from him. I don't think I would have ever done it. It was kind of just this carrot that was kind of being dangled in front of me. And so anyhow, we had kind of this come to Jesus meeting, and I was like, "Look, you know, I need a timeline on when this proposal is going to happen." And I said, "You know, at this point, I feel like you either know you're going to marry me or you're not." And I said, "I feel like 6 months is sufficient." And he said, "Well, no, I feel like it needs to be 18 months. And I said, "Well, that's not okay with me." And so we were taking the weekend to think about this marriage timeline. And I later discovered that's not what he was doing during that weekend.
So, what was he doing?
Well, so I found out several months later that he was extensively cheating on me, and through text messages and just the most wild things. I ended up with his phone, and these text messages were so beyond shocking. Found out that he had caught an STD from one girl, clearly was not using protection with anybody. There was another girl that he had picked up at a bar that he had unprotected sex with. There was another one that didn't even have a name in his phone. It was literally just a phone number at the top. And he was saying that he wouldn't mind getting her pregnant, and just the most wild, wild stuff ever. And at that point, I was like, "Look, I am completely done with this situation." And he was upset at that point, was doing everything he could to make my life as difficult as possible to get me to stay. And he had also said that there was another person that he was cheating with, but he didn't want to tell me for some reason. And I didn't find out until a month later who that was and what it was. So yeah, it was, I mean, all of it was just absolutely insane. And the phone, mind you, was a work phone. This was not even his personal phone. So I can't even imagine the extent of all of the cheating. It was really bad. There was even, you know, sexual harassment with coworkers. It was appalling behavior all the way around.
You said something interesting. You said, "I would later find out who that person was." Does that
yes.
person have significance to the story, or?
Yes.
Okay. Who is it?
So she ended up getting pregnant on the weekend we were going to be taking that time to think about our marriage timeline. He impregnated another person. And that was devastating. It's bad enough to be cheated on, but it's worse when that's not something you can just get away from. I mean, that's something that will impact my life, my children's lives, everybody's lives for the rest of time. And it was devastating to find that out.
When you talked to him about this situation, Is he begging for your forgiveness, or is he kind of saying, you know, I would rather go off and live this life of just getting to sleep with whoever I want and maybe run off with this woman who got pregnant?
Yeah, and you know, he probably should have said that, but I think, you know, he just wanted his cake and wanted to eat it too. He never wanted a relationship with any of these people that he had cheated on me with. While he wasn't being apologetic, because he was actually doing the exact opposite. He was blaming me for his cheating, saying that because I wasn't doing what I said I was supposed to be doing, which was going back to school, that he felt entitled to be able to cheat on me, which is beyond messed up. And even goofy reasons like I didn't make enough Costco runs, that was a reason that he cheated on me. It was literally anything he could say to justify his behavior, he did. And the crazy thing is, like I said previously, he was doing everything he could to be as nasty as possible to get me to stay, which is very bizarre. I like to say that it was like he was beating me into submission without laying hands on me, because that's what it felt like. You know, he would turn off the Wi-Fi. He would just do everything he could to be as nasty as possible. And at that point in time, financial abuse became extremely, extremely hard. And so he was using that or the vehicle. You know, he would try to take the keys away from me. Just, I mean, everything that he could find to, you know, it was almost like if you get back with me, all of this will go away and I'll be a nice guy again. It was bizarre, and it was definitely this crazy mental warfare situation.
So I'm assuming you felt like you couldn't leave.
Absolutely. Yeah, when I absolutely was trapped. And when you have somebody who is financially abusing to that level, you know, it's nice to say, "Oh, you should just pick up and leave." When you have kids, that is not possible when you have zero money. And when you have no money and you have somebody who has millions and millions of dollars, right? That's terrifying, because the court system, you're going to get crushed in the court system. You have no money to defend yourself. Where are you going to live? How are you going to gather childcare? Childcare is ridiculously expensive. You know, it's not easy to leave. Plus, I have this other court case in Florida that if I just up and left, I've got this other case to deal with as well. So it's like I'm in a no-win situation. And he knew this, and he wanted me to stay there. And so he would, you know, flit in and out of being really nice. He would buy me expensive gifts. And then when I would rebuff him, he would just go into rages. And it was extremely, extremely hard. And having to toe this line of not knowing who I was getting that day, was it going to be the nice guy? Was it going to be, you know, a battlefield that I'm walking into? I never had any clue. And you just feel like you're constantly walking on eggshells and tiptoeing. And, you know, your house is literally a battleground. And just doing anything I could to protect my kids and shield them from just the absolute craziness that was going on.
Once you found out everything that was going on with your boyfriend, I know you felt like you couldn't leave, but how did you handle that? Did you try and find ways to get out, or did you think you were just going to suffer through it for a little bit?
No, you know, because I ended things about a month after I found out about the baby. And I went through this period of hysterical bonding, which I think is important to talk about, because I think a lot of people go through this when somebody has cheated, and you end up feeling so much shame and so much. It's such a hard thing to go through mentally, because here you've got this person who is being disgusting to you and they've cheated on you, but psychologically you're craving them. And it is the most bizarre, most heartbreaking thing to go through, because it's like you're re-victimizing yourself, but you can't control yourself. And it's very hard to go through. And luckily I had a therapist at the time, and she said, you know, you need to start writing down all of the behaviors that he's doing. And so I did that, and you know, just wrote them all out. And I just would repeat that and read it and read it and read it over and over again to get myself to snap out of it, because it was just so horrific, the things that he was doing. And luckily I did snap out of it. But after I had decided to not be in the relationship anymore, I started doing things to help facilitate getting myself out one day. Because, you know, even though I couldn't do it at that moment, I wanted to be able to help my future self. And so luckily he was out of town half the time doing events and probably other women, God knows what he was doing. But I would go around the house. He had
stuff everywhere. I would take pictures of all of the financial documents because I was locked out of all of that stuff. And I cannot recommend to women enough of being smart. And when you know that like things are going south, you've got to gather evidence. You've got to protect yourself because you're going to get creamed in court if you don't. And so I would take pictures of everything that I could find, even if I didn't know if it would be helpful, just to be able to have it. And I sent everything off to my dad and my best friend and a random email of mine that he didn't have access to in case my phone got taken or got compromised in some way. I wanted to make sure that my info was secure. And also he had gotten me an iPad and I was working at the time to try to get my real estate license so I could get, you know, make some money and get out of there. And then I ended up starting a reselling business. I would go around the house and find things to sell. And the unfortunate thing is, you know, he saw that I was starting to make some money doing that and he would do anything he could to get me to spend the money, which was really crappy. And so I ended up not being able to save a whole lot of money. But I was just doing anything I could to find avenues to be able to get myself up out of there. And luckily during this time period, I had my own bedroom. So that was nice. I didn't have to deal with him on that level. I had my own space and that was extremely helpful during that time period.
Oh my God, my heart is just breaking for you. Just feeling just feeling how trapped you are because people think of intimate partner violence. They think of, you know, getting hit and getting bruised and getting having physical wounds, but to be cornered financially and to be cornered also like with kids and relationships that you have with them and this family that you've created, you know, people are always asking why don't women leave, but it's because of a complex series of issues that I think you're a perfect example of.
Yeah, absolutely. And it breaks my heart that so much of this is put on women, right? Like, you know, people focus on, well, he's abusing you. You need to be the one to leave. And it's like, why don't we focus on men and why are you making it so impossible for her to leave? Why are you abusing this hard? You know, it's on the men ultimately. And I find that heartbreaking that our society places so much blame of women and it's their fault that they're stuck in it. And it's really not. And this stuff happens so insidiously. You don't even realize that it's happening until it's like, well, crap, I'm completely stuck.
Why do you think that he was trying to keep you in the relationship, even though all of his behaviors didn't signal that he wanted to be with you long term?
Well, we had this therapy session and I do think that this was the gist of it all. We had, after the cheating came out, we had a couple of couples counseling sessions. And this was during that hysterical bonding period. And obviously they did not go super great. And the therapist had turned to me and was like, what do you even like about this guy? And, you know, you feel kind of stupid, but it's like, you know, even though somebody is, you know, being crappy to you, they still do have good qualities. And that's kind of one of the weird things when you are dealing with abusers, they're not jerks all the time. They do have nice qualities as well. And so I was, you know, rattling off my things and we sat there and then he asked my ex, what do you like about her? And we sat there and you could see on his face just this deep conflict. I've never seen somebody just sitting there just so almost like he was tortured. It was a very bizarre moment and it went on for a couple minutes. And I remember sitting there and I was so embarrassed because I was thinking, you know, here I am telling this therapist of all of these horrific things that this guy has done to me. He's cheated on me. There's a baby. There's all of these things. And here I am hysterically bonding with this jerk. And I'm in a couples counseling session to see if I can even salvage anything, which is insanity. I mean, I shouldn't have even been there in the first place. I shouldn't be trying to salvage anything. And he can't come up with one thing that he can say about me that he even likes. I just felt so mortified in that moment. And finally, he said, you know, she's one of the most incredible women that I've ever met. And, you know, the way she is with people and the way she's with me, you know, just I really admire her. And I truly think that that was probably likely what he actually thought of me. But I do think that he saw me as a possession. And I think that ultimately he is a cheater. He admitted that he's cheated on just about everybody that he has been in a relationship with. And I truly think that he expected me to just stay in line and accept the way he wanted to have things. And obviously that was not okay with me.
Okay, so you leave, you do the very brave thing of ending the relationship and getting out. I'm wondering if you have any advice for women who are in similar situations as you. Like, what would you tell somebody who's really struggling because they want to leave, but they're not sure if they will be able to do it?
Sure. Like I said, you have to be smart and you have to gather your documents. You have to gather your evidence. So, you know, especially if you were in a one-line consent state, if you can record people without them knowing, if there are fights, if there's anything going on, you need to gather as much evidence as possible against people, because what ends up happening with these personality types is they will go in and it ends up becoming a he said, she said battle. And especially with when you have kids, you want to make sure that you have enough information so that they can see behaviors and patterns and whatnot, because you want to protect your kids as much as you possibly can. And you have to gather your financial documents. I'm still to this day dealing with financial abuse from this person. And, you know, if I didn't have those documents and, you know what was actually going on, I would have been completely screwed. And so you have to be smart and you have to gather things. And I will say, for me, taking that time to gather things, it actually empowered me, because I knew I was going to be helping my future self. Like, I felt like even though I can't leave right now, like I am helping myself. And that just felt very empowering, knowing that you were able to do that for yourself. And, you know, and making those timelines every day, document what's going on and just making sure you have evidence and documents. It's so hugely impossible. And also with reselling, I really think that is a great accessible way for women to be able to make money and to be able to sock some money away and hopefully be able to get out for themselves. Cause it's easy to be able to lie about and be like, oh, well, I only sold this for $5. And, you know, and then, you know, sock that into your own account, maybe even an account that they don't know about, or, you know, maybe only if he is being funny about a bank account, you know, putting that $5 in the shared account, but then having your own and putting the rest of whatever you made from that sale in your own account. And just, you know, it's a great way to be able to make some extra money, and it's accessible because you can do it from your home. And so I that became a lifeline for me during that time period.
And after everything that you've been through and the journey that I know that you're still on, in those very early days of you deciding to leave, is there one thing that you would tell yourself to encourage yourself to make it through what's, I'm assuming, one of the most difficult times of your life?
Definitely. One thing I think that did help me is I did have a therapist throughout the whole ordeal, and she was a rock. So I highly recommend, if you do have access to therapy, to take advantage of that, because it was huge, or at least confide into, you know, a trusted friend or a family member. But, you know, just realizing that what they do to you is not a reflection of who you are. Just because they're cheating on you and they're treating you like trash, that is about them and it's not about you. You know, I want women to not internalize other people's behaviors, because it's about what they are lacking. You were never lacking anything, and to hold tight onto that, because you're worthy, you're wonderful, you did not deserve any of it. And I want so many people to realize that. It's not their fault.
On Thursday, of course, we will have another breakdown bonus episode. We're talking about something pretty serious. I mean, we're going to be talking about how domestic violence doesn't always show up as the physical. I think this episode was the perfect example of how you can be controlled in a relationship without it turning physical. And as always, I will see you whenever you decide to tune in next.
Forget whatever plans you have this weekend, because you're staying at home and playing on SpinQuest. And there's never been a better time to sign up than right now. New users get $30 coin packs for just $10. All the table games you love, with hundreds of slot games and real cash prizes. That's at SpinQuest.com. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.